question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Okay, Mary and I are back with you, so let's get right to today's installment of the Chief Travel Leader Series, and we're sponsored by Travel Guard Travel Insurance.
If travel insurance was something that you never considered much when you traveled before, well, with the coronavirus, riots, and all the uncertainty that exists out there, have made one thing clear. It's that you just never know when it comes to emergency travel situations. If you are planning any type of trip, whether it's leisure or maybe you own a small business and need to travel, don't put your investment or well-being at risk. Get covered from our friends at TravelGuard.com. It's affordable, and it's going to give you protection in a lot of different ways.
It really will. You know, there are different types of coverages to protect your specific needs, but whatever level or type you choose for your travels, you should have protection from TravelGuard.com. You'll also find a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, holding for us on that show hotline and ready to go is Chip Rogers. He's the CEO of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. We are seeing a noticeable uptick in hotel stays across the country as travel begins to rebound. And to dig deeper into what's going on at hotels and resorts and what travelers can expect, we asked Chip to join us today for our Chief Travel Leader interview.
Nice to connect with you, Chip. Mary and I welcome you to America's number one travel radio show.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
We're going to get right into this. You know, 13 weeks ago, America went into the forced shutdown as coronavirus fears and increased cases took hold. It's been a challenging period for everyone hearing us talk across the country today, Chip. But we are seeing some positive signs as the hopeful recovery is underway. Our audience is comprised of about two-thirds leisure travelers. We've got about a third business travelers, plus people from all sectors of the travel industry that tune in. The recovery is going to be uneven, really, for some parts of the country, since some areas are ahead of others, like where we are here in the New York City area, not great. But what are you seeing and hearing from AHLA members and your other contacts?
Really the same thing that you just referenced. In some places, it's going quite well. I mean, if you're on the Gulf Coast, anywhere from Florida to Texas, business is booming. But what's interesting, taking the state of Florida as a perfect example, they've been open for quite some time. If you go to Destin, Florida right now, you have a very hard time finding a hotel room. If you go to Orlando, Florida right now, you could pick and choose whatever hotel room you want because their occupancy is still around 20% because they focus on conventions and amusement parks that are not up and operational, right? Whereas the beach is open for everybody. So that's what we're really seeing around the country.
Chip, this week the president signed some much-needed adjustments to the PPP program, but I'm curious to know if you're seeing any data or maybe you're hearing things from various contacts in the hotel industry. Are there any concern with labor shortages in areas that are trying to get restarted, particularly these coastal areas that are doing well right now, because people are opting to stay on the CARES Act extended unemployment benefits? Can hotels get staffed?
Absolutely a problem, no question about it. What's interesting, if you went back to February 1st of this year, we had 900,000 job openings in our industry across the country. Then you fast forward to about April, say 15th, and we had millions of people without jobs. And now we're seeing the reopening, and companies and hotels are saying, hey, come on back to work, and yet you have a percentage of the employees who it's financially better for them to stay out of work. And that is terrible. That's terrible policy. We certainly support our employees. We want to make sure that they are taking care of their families more than anything. But to pay someone to not work more than they would to work, that's not a long-term recipe for success.
No, it's not. We've been saying that for many, many weeks. Actually, when the whole CARES Act went down, that was a clear issue that was put in there. And sure, there's a lot of political reasons why that was done from whatever side
it's
people come down
on.
But the reality is what we're seeing the results of it today, and people are opting to stay home than go back to work. But I'll switch gears with you. I mean, service, amenities, experiences, they've often been key decision makers when choosing a hotel. But current times, it says it's now safety and sanitizing. So many of the larger companies we've seen out there, they're partnering with hospitals and recognized disinfectant brands, while others right now, the smaller properties or so forth, they're installing plexiglass and figuring out how social distancing in public spaces, gyms, spas, restaurants, wherever is going to work out. So what are some things that you're seeing out there, Chip, that you like? And is there any type of standardization that AHLA is supporting for the hotel industry?
Thanks for asking, because a couple months ago we created what's known as SafeStay, and we did get the entire industry to rally around this as the baseline standards, recognizing that certain brands, certain hotels, depending on how they're configured, where they're located, are going to have to do things a little bit differently above and beyond what we would suggest. But these SafeStay guidelines have been endorsed by the 16 largest brands in the country. all the major ownership groups, the management groups, and thousands of individual hotels. And they are really designed to make sure that we're in complete lockstep with the CDC and what they're recommending. So we're not doing something that doesn't what the CDC says. And so the consumers understand that they can go to really pretty much any hotel, and at least those baseline standards will be used.
I think that is so important for rebuilding consumer confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's so great to hear that
it's been a hot button for you for a while now.
It has, because I think that's a big part of the key here. So good to hear. All right, so Chip, something else that Robert and I have been following, and I'm smiling as I say this, because it just shows resiliency and creativity among a lot of hoteliers out there. Hotels have been adapting guest rooms to accommodate people who are working remotely. I actually have several people in my family who've been going to hotels.
Not me, though.
To work. Not us. But I've thought about it. It's not a bad idea. Who need a quiet environment. Hotels have great Wi-Fi, a place to get away and really work. It's not going to replace lost revenue from having hotel occupancy at 80 and 90%, or certainly the loss of conventions and expos or even weddings. But as I said, it really shows resiliency. It's creative. Do you think that this temporary sort of trend has anything to it, particularly for urban hotels that are still going to be struggling during recovery?
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's great that our industry is always able to adapt to find some way to keep the businesses afloat, which is what most hoteliers are worried about right now. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really interesting, I've given this a lot of thought over the last couple of weeks, there's this constant discussion that, the teleconferencing, the Zoom, and all that is going to replace people traveling. And there will be some of that impact, no question about it. Mm-hmm. But I also believe now that you can work anywhere, there will be people that are much more likely to travel and work out of a hotel room in some place that they would like to take their family and enjoy cities on, Fridays and Mondays. People might be teleworking a lot more, but that doesn't mean they're doing it at home. They may be doing it in a hotel room somewhere. We certainly support that. So things are going to change. Our industry is incredibly resilient, as you pointed out, and we'll figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah,
I think we all will. And it is interesting. So more bleisure, Mary, the more bleisure we're going to be seeing. The hotel and resort sponsor for this program, it's Preferred Hotels and Resorts, and many of their properties are independently owned. But I'm thinking right now about the smaller properties out there that are more seasonal and are facing a lot of uncertainty for the summer months. And I want to know, do you have a message for them or even perhaps smaller businesses who may support a certain operation at a hotel property or so forth and are trying to navigate through things so they can make it mid and long term?
Well, that measure and message of clean and safe is incredibly important. We do a lot of polling to find out where consumers are. And if you went back 6 months ago, they're all over the map. Right now, consumers are unified around one message. They're willing to travel if they believe it is safe, and in the case of a hotel, clean. And so we remind people, push that message as far as you can and as wide as you can, because that's what consumers are looking for right now. We offer that through Safe Stay. There's other ways to do it. So whether you're a small hotel or a large hotel, you've really got to be messaging around that cleaning and safety, because that's what's going to get guests to come. There's demand. I mean, people want to go to hotels. They want to take vacations. They just want to be safe about it.
Right. All right. Before we run out of time, I want to let our audience know, listening across the country who may not know your background, you had a long career as a public servant, having been elected to the Georgia General Assembly 6 times, I believe, and served 2 terms as the Georgia State Senate Majority Leader. No easy task. Thanks for your service in politics. So since you joined the American Hotel and Lodging Association as CEO about 18 months ago, how has your success working in state government, which can be obviously partisan and many times dysfunctional in D.C., how have those skills helped you to benefit the travel industry?
Listening to a million different viewpoints is always critically important, particularly when I, in my last couple of terms in a leadership position, it was more about finding out what those around you want to accomplish and how to help them make that happen than it is about your own issues. And so that has helped me immensely. But I think, one distinction, we tend to get our politics by looking at Washington, D.C. But if you went to any state legislature across the country, there's a lot more stuff that is done on a bipartisan basis than you would ever see in Washington, D.C. So even in a state like Georgia, where the Republicans are in control now, most bills pass in a bipartisan way, and I think that's really helpful, because while we all have different political views, there are good people and bad people in both parties, and you have to work together, and you have to find some common ground if you're going to accomplish anything. Just standing on the sideline throwing bombs doesn't help anybody.
Well, that message is more important than ever today with
absolutely.
What we see going around this country, and hopefully a few people have listened and wised up a little bit. But, Chip, listen, we really enjoyed the conversation with you. Thank you very much for your time today. We look forward to checking in again, so don't be a stranger and enjoy the weekend, okay?
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thanks, Chip.
All right. That was important information.
Well put.
Yeah, it was very well put, Mary. And folks, if you want to find out more about the American Hotel and Lodging Association, you can check out their website. It's just ahla.com, ahla.com. Right now, we're going to pause for a quick break. Please be sure to connect with us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at RM World Travel. Two segments of the show are already in the books. We still have eight more to go. We're going to get to it all and more after this quick break.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.